if any of y'all have watched or paid attention to the slides last Sunday, there was a slide in the pre-service mix, and that was the slide, but it didn't have any of the verbiage there at the bottom of it. It just had "you're one." I've been on a journey this year, probably as a result of the end of last year, probably. It's been a little while, and let me just share some things with you. Several surveys have been done. Matter of fact, one of the recent surveys that were done among some of our communities, one of the things that we're finding in the survey, of all the people who were surveyed, whether they attended church or didn't attend church, they focused on those who didn't attend church anywhere or had no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ or had no relationship with God. One of the things that they're finding is that the majority of them would entertain a conversation or would entertain coming to a church service if somebody would ask them and enter into a conversation with them. One of the things that they found was over 65% of those who they surveyed said that they would entertain or be welcome to that, to sit down and have a conversation about Jesus Christ, to attend a church service or whatever. One of the journeys that I have been on throughout the last part of this year, matter of fact, I've hit on, and it's come about as a result of some of my own study, my own personal study, even in the book of Romans. As we deal with the issue of loving our neighbor as ourself. One of the things you're going to notice up there, it's entitled "You're One, the Power of an Invite," February the 10th, 2019. That's the Sunday right before Valentine's Day. One of the things that I would like to invite you and challenge you to do is between now and February the 10th is to have a conversation with someone. Invite someone to come to church with you on February the 10th. Now, let me say this, and let me just make some things real clear. It's not about the number of people that may come. One of the other things I want you to understand, this isn't about a high attendance day. It's not about a high attendance Sunday. What it's trying to do is challenge us to engage in having a conversation with someone about Jesus Christ or about the church. You could invite. You could have a conversation with somebody and they may not come to church. The issue is just having that invitation, inviting them here. Now, I'm going to put one other stipulation on there. Do not, let me say this one more time. Do not go get somebody that's already involved or attending church somewhere else and have them come here for just that one Sunday so you could have a person here. All right? That's not what this is about. This is about intentionally engaging people, especially our neighbors, especially when it comes to, in light of the scripture, when Jesus Christ himself, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." To have a conversation with them, to invite them. I'm already working on somebody right now to have who does not attend church. At some point, church was a part of their life. They have no relationship with Jesus Christ at all. But my intent is to get them here on February the 10th. Now, here's what else I want you to do. Not only do I want you to invite them to come and be here with you, but I want you to take it one step further. I want you to invite them here, but also to invite them out after church, either to your house to eat or to take them somewhere to eat and continue that conversation or that relationship with them. You say, "Preacher, I don't know anybody." Yeah, you do. They live in your neighborhoods. If they don't live in your neighborhood, you work with them. Or they could be somebody that you know. Having an invitation or having a conversation with someone doesn't necessarily mean it's the person right next door to you. It could be somebody that's an acquaintance with you. It could be anybody that you have conversation with throughout your week or throughout the month, or somebody that you know that needs that you need to have a conversation with about Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. What has he done for you? What has Jesus Christ done in your life? What did Jesus Christ bring to your life when you entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ? What has he done for you in your life? What has God done for you? as you consider all of that and look at it, and I will tell you, the world today, as you look around and you look at the world today and the folks that are struggling in the world, just trying to figure out to make sense of the world and the culture that we live in today, a lot of them are looking for answers outside of God. And I will tell you, you will not find the answer outside of God. It's not where it is. If you want to understand the world that we live in today and to understand life as we know it and to understand life as it's supposed to be, the way that God has designed it for us to be, then you'll find it in God. That's where you'll find it. That's where it is. So on February the 10th, and you say, well, preacher, what if we invite all of these people and we have them here? Where are we going to put them? That's a good question. I shared this with our leadership. I shared this with the deacons, and I've shared it with a couple of others here at the church. And here's what we're going to do. See those doors back there in the back? We're just going to swing them wide open. We'll set chairs up if we need to. But I want you to understand, it is not about the number of people here. It's about having a conversation with someone about Jesus Christ. That's what the goal of this is. February the 10th is when we want this to kind of culminate to bring it together. So here's what we want you to do. Be inviting someone. February the 10th, bring them here with you. Do something with them after the service is over with. Don't just say, hey, I want you to come to church with me so you'll fill my spot sitting on the pew. And not only do you bring them here, not only do you have that relationship with them afterwards, but it's not something that's going to end. I've been trying and having this conversation with the ones that I'm looking at prior to this. As a matter of fact, I've already told them to go ahead and put this date on your calendar and give them plenty of notice, because my goal is to continue to have that conversation with them, even if they don't come. And that's the goal here, is to have a conversation with someone about Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians. And I want to take this thing from a biblical perspective. You know, so often we kind of look at this stuff and, listen, I've been around the days where we had high attendance Sunday. Boy, it's just pack a pew. How many of y'all have ever been involved in pack a pew Sunday? What happened the next Sunday after the pack a pew Sunday? Things went back to just the way they were, didn't it? The intent here is not of packing a pew Sunday. The intent of this is to share Jesus Christ. It's to share with others what God's done in your life. And listen to me, there are people near here who need Jesus Christ in their life. And are you ready for this? There are some who are not just going to get up and show up here. So guess what we need to do? We need to take the message to them. We need to share the truth of Jesus Christ with them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, specifically, and verse 17. And I want you to notice what Paul says. He says, therefore, if any man or anyone, be in Christ. That is one of Paul's phrases that he uses throughout all of his letters. And it is pretty significant, because the phrase in Christ stipulates that there is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Of Christ speaks of an acquaintance. You know who he is. In Christ stipulates that there's a relationship there with Jesus Christ. There's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So here's what Paul said. So therefore, in light of everything Paul has written in this point in chapter 16 or in chapter 4 up to this point, he says, therefore, if any man, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature. That's an interesting phrase. Because the Greek word there for new is the Greek word kano. And the Greek word for creature there is actually the Greek word katesis, which says or speaks to creation. What's interesting about that word creature versus creation, and most everywhere else in Paul's letters, it refers to creation, not just creature, not just an individual. So Paul says not only is he a new creature. What does that mean? What did Paul mean when he said that? It's not just the individual person that has been made new, but also that a new situation or a new way has been created. And that's in Christ. That's the only way. So he said, all things are passed away. He said, behold, all things are become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, or namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or counting their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Let me say this. Paul starts off and he makes a very bold statement here in verse 17, actually through verse 19. And let me just say this. Being in Christ, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, should bring about a radical change in a person's life. It should be a radical change. Because it says, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. When you consider that and when you think about that, what in the world was Paul talking about? Old things. Things are ways that characterize the pre-Christian life. That's what Paul means by those old things. Those things that characterize the pre-Christian life, they've passed away. And basically, here's what Paul says, they've come to an end. Now when you look at life, you look at life now through the eyes of a different lens. You no longer look at that the world. You no longer look at life through the lens of the world. But you look at life through the lens of the Word of God and through Jesus Christ and through God. That's how you look at the world. And listen to me, God did not deputize Paul to make people feel good about themselves and their relationship to God. That was not the case. But to effect a real change that brings about real peace. Let me tell you something. People today are looking for real peace in their life. People today are looking for something that provides real contentment in their life. People are looking for something today that provides real change in their life that this world does not have to offer. And the only place that you're going to find that is in Jesus Christ. The conversations that I have on a daily basis, as a matter of fact, this conversation that I've been having with this one individual has been going on for almost a year. And it's to listen to their responses and to listen as they talk about life in general and the life that they live and the life that they're involved in. It is very evident when you listen to these conversations that they're just trying to make it from this day to the next day to the next day. If I can just get through this day and get to tomorrow, I feel like I've accomplished something. Listen, it's a shame to have to live life that way. To understand and realize that this life that we live in today, this isn't all that there is. And so the things that we should be involved in today should be things that have eternal consequences to them, not just trying to deal with the temporal that we live in every day. And how do you do that? How do you live life that way? How do you unhitch from all of the things that the world has to offer? How do you unhitch from all of this stuff that culture shoots at us every day? How do you unhitch from all of that? There's only one way you can do that. And that's to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit of God to work through your life and to speak to your heart and to follow His leading every day and to look at life through a different set of lenses. I don't know about you. Does life get hard? Really? What kind of a question is that? Let me ask you a question. Does life get messy? Huh? How many of sometimes would like to just crawl back into bed, turn the light back off, and try it all over again. Huh? Like every morning. That's the life we live in. And are you ready for this? Guess what? Everybody's doing the same. Listen, life to everybody is basically that same way. People struggling through life. Here's what Paul said. He said, if you're in Christ, then you've become a new creation. Things change. A radical change takes place. Old things are passed away. You look at things differently in life. You look at things from a different perspective. You look at things through the eyes of the Word of God and from God Himself, not through your own. This means that Paul was always pointing to something beyond himself, greater than himself, not to himself. Folks, listen to me. One of the things that we need to understand in life, there is something greater than you and I. There is someone greater than you and I. There is someone who can provide peace in our lives. There is someone who can provide contentment in their life. There is someone who can fill that empty void that's in our hearts and lives every day that we seek things from the world to try to fill the emptiness and the void that's inside of us. And I'm going to tell you something. People use different things to try to find them. Matter of fact, I've had conversations with one. Matter of fact, here's what they said. You know, the more of it you have, the more of it you have to have next and next and next. Because in order to get what you had back here, it takes more and more and more and more of it to get there. Folks, listen to me. That's not the case with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when He comes into us, He changes us radically. And He can provide that peace and contentment in our hearts and lives that we need each and every day. Let me tell you something. The bookstores are not deplete of books on how-to books on how to get through life every day. Matter of fact, they got a how-to book for just about everything in life that you can imagine. Just go to Barnes & Noble and walk down through their how-to book section. Matter of fact, the ones who came out with it, how many of y'all have seen these books? It's called So-and-So and Such and Such and Such and Such for Dummies. They have one out now, Do Your Taxes for Dummies. Okay? They got all of these books. I mean, you can walk down these aisles to try to find all of these self-help books to try to get you through tomorrow. Folks, listen to me. The only thing that's going to get you through tomorrow, the only thing that's going to get you through that difficulty, the only thing that's going to get you through that difficult time is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all. You see, it's what God has done in Christ, not what He is doing, the Apostle Paul. It's not what He is doing for Christ. Take your Bibles and go with me to Romans chapter 1. Sometimes I think we lose sight of something that it appears so simple, but yet it's so profound. And I will tell you, it is simplistic in its words. It is profound in its truth. Romans chapter 1. And it's a statement that Paul makes in verse 16. He said, I am not ashamed. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of it. Let me ask you a question. Are we? Let me ask you a question. Are we afraid to have a conversation with someone about Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, here's one of the things I hear often. I'm afraid today to have a conversation with someone about Jesus Christ because I'm concerned about the question they may ask me that I can't answer. Folks, listen to me. Here's one of the things that I want to try to help you with, okay? You don't need to be a theologian to share with somebody what Jesus Christ did in your heart and life. You may not be able to explain everything from a deep doctrinal theological position, but you can share, this is where I was, this is what happened, and this is where I am today as a result of placing my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If we don't, if we don't share that message with others, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And here's the reason. Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Here's what I want you to understand. The gospel message is the power of God Himself. Folks, listen to me. We've not been called to save anybody. We haven't been called in our own lives to produce anything. We've been called to bear the very fruit of the Holy Spirit of God, not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share it with those that we come in contact with, and bless God, leave the rest of it up to God. You're not going to save them. You're not going to change their heart. You're not going to, through some osmosis means, bring about a conversion in their heart and life. Let me tell you something. Conversion takes place in the heart of an individual when the Holy Spirit of God brings conviction to them that based on the truth of the Scripture, they realize they're a sinner in need of Jesus Christ, and that transformation takes place in their heart. That's when salvation takes place. Here's what we need to do. We just need to share the truth of it. We need to share the truth of the Scripture with those around us. Paul identifies himself in verse 20 as an ambassador. And I want you to notice what he said. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, I know a lot of times we take these verses, verse 17, but I want you to notice the pronouns here. Paul is talking about himself and with Timothy and Barnabas and those with him as he's speaking and writing to the church at Corinth. He said, here's one of the things that I want you to understand. He said, we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, or in other words, appeal to you by us. We pray you, or we beg you in Christ's stead. Paul says, we beg of you to be reconciled to God. We appeal to you. We beg you. We plead with you. My dear friend, you know, sometimes I don't think, I think we have been in it so long and we've heard it so long. Let me ask you a question. Do you realize the clock's ticking? We don't have a whole lot of time. And so the time frame that we have while we're alive here on the face of this earth to serve the Lord with everything, to share the truth of Jesus Christ with those that we come in contact with, redeeming the time because of the urgency of the hour that we live in today. Paul said, we're an ambassador. What did it mean to be an ambassador for Paul? Paul was a representative of Jesus Christ Himself. He identifies himself as a representative. So what's so key about being an ambassador? An ambassador makes the case for the one who sent him. And Paul saw himself directly as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, making the case for the one who sent him to share with him the truth of the gospel. Paul's statement that God makes his appeal through us still holds true today. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed from the time that Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth and where we are today. God's appeal to us. Paul says, we beg you, to the believers in the church at Corinth, to be reconciled to God. The church. Church is not only called to preserve the truth of doctrine, but it's also called by God to be a reconciling force. And I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact, are we talking about the church as a whole, or are we talking about just Ascension Baptist Church? What Paul is talking about here Paul is talking about writing to the church at Corinth, but he's talking about it as a whole. We should all be involved in the church. Not just Ascension, but in the church. You say, well, preacher, why is that? Well, Paul, in the letter to the church at Corinth, spends an entire chapter of relating and contrasting the church with the human body. And he said, and every part of the human body has been put in place, fitly joined together by God, and is supplied with everything that it needs for it to accomplish the work that God's called it to accomplish. But I'm going to tell you something, if we're not plugged in, if we're not using the very gift that God's gifted us with through the Holy Spirit to engage the body, then I'm going to tell you something, the body is not as effective today as it could be. And oh, by the way, and I hear this all the time, well, it won't miss it if I'm not involved in anything. Sure it does. Sure you're missed. Because I'm going to tell you something, if the total effectiveness of the body is lessened by everyone who takes that mindset. To be a part of the body of Christ. And I know this is tough, but here's what it means. It means that we must adopt the status of a servant and must be active in ministry of helping and healing. It means to take the status of a servant. To serve. To carry. To be an ambassador. To serve. To use the gift that God has gifted with me with some capacity in the body as a whole. Does that mean being a part of a local New Testament church or a local assembly of believers in a church setting? Yes. Does it take everybody? Yes. So to see the gospel go? Yes. In the community that we're in, does it take everybody to be serving? Boy, can you imagine? Could you imagine what could be done for the cause of Christ today if everyone in the body was engaged? But I think this is one of the things that Paul wanted us to understand here as well. We also need to remember the responsibility that goes with being an ambassador. Did you know that there's a responsibility that comes with being an ambassador? Go back to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And look at verse 3 and verse 4. Let's actually start back up in verse 1. And notice this, Paul shares this writing to the church at Corinth. And notice what Paul says. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Why is Paul going down this route? It's because of the false teachers and false teaching that was taking place in the church at Corinth. He said, ours is not about dishonesty. It's not about walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, the revealing of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And look at verse 3. But if our gospel is hidden, who's it hid to? It's hid to them that are lost. Look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world or of this age has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We just need to carry that gospel and share that gospel with those around us and leave the rest of it up to God. Let me just say this. In what we say and do, Jesus told His disciples, and He specifically told them to love one another. And He said, this love that you have for each other, when those on the outside see that love that you have for each other here, here's what Jesus said. The world will know that you're my disciples. Why? Because of the love that you have for each other. To love our neighbors, ourselves. To walk across the street. To give an invitation. To have a conversation with Him about the very one who changed your life. Let me ask you a question. How big of a deal is that with you, of what He did in your heart and life? You know, sometimes I think we get to the point where I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and when it's all over with, I hope at some point, some way, they figure it out. Really? What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? What does that mean? What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? Let me tell you something. I shared this on Sunday night. This is the part that I'm struggling to even to get my hands around. What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, and with all your mind? And Jesus said, the second's likened to it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And He said, by these. He said the entire law hangs on that first one. And the second's like unto it. So what does it mean to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind? What does it mean to love our neighbor as ourself? Does that mean we may have to go out of our comfort zone? Does it mean we may have to step outside of that area that we're comfortable with? Does it mean that we may have to entertain them and they don't look like us, they don't talk like us, they don't behave like we do? Bless God, they need Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. How were you before you got saved? I don't want to share with you where I was, but I will. Let me just say it this way. Not good. And I could really care less about anybody else. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. And what we say and do is a reflection on Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Be careful with that. Here's what Paul said. We're ambassadors for Christ. Did you know that what you do, what you say and what you do is a reflection on Jesus Christ? Because you see, did you know that Jesus Christ and God is often judged by the way we live? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, and I'll finish with this one. Galatians chapter 5. Starting in verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. In this chapter, Paul is dealing with the subject of liberty that we have in Christ as a result of our salvation. But notice verse 13, he says, for brethren. Let me tell you who he's talking to here. He's talking to believers. You've been called to liberty because of your relationship with in Jesus Christ. You've been called to liberty. But don't use that liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Do not use that liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Let me just make a statement this morning to consider and think about. Grace is not a license to live however you want to live. Grace is not a license just to do whatever you want to do. But look at the last part of verse 13. Notice what he says. And here's that. I have been going all throughout the scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And every time I come across this phrase in some form or another. And I want you to notice what this phrase says. At the end of verse 13, he says, But by love, do what? Serve one another. But by love, serve one another. And then we go to verse 14. He says, for all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Who? Now we've come to, not only shall you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Paul says in verse 14, he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as your what? As yourself. By love to serve one another. Paul said, writing to the church at Corinth, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation, radically been changed by the power of the gospel. And not only just the creature, but also creation as well. See, creation one day is going to be completely restored. It's going to be completely reconciled. A new way was set aside. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. His representative. Every day we live, the way we live, what we say, what we speak, how we walk, is a reflection on the one that we represent. And that's Jesus Christ. The world often judges God. And are you ready for this? You can read church history. It's been a part of the church since the church has been. The church has always struggled. Has always struggled with this. The testimony of the church, of the local church. Even when you go back and you study church history, and you go read the letters that are written to the churches in the book of the Revelation. And the very first one, Jesus Christ wrote the letter to. He said, I know you are busy. He said, you are involved in all sorts of things. Matter of fact, here's what he said. He said, matter of fact, you hated evil and doctrine was something that was dear and near to you. And he gave them a commendation on all of that. But then he came down to the next statement. It was a statement of common condemnation against the church at Ephesus. And here's what he said. But I have somewhat against you, because you've left your what? Your first love. I don't know. God has really been dealing with me and speaking to my heart, and the Holy Spirit has. Every time I look, what does this love look like? Folks, let me tell you something. The world needs to see something today different. They need to see what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But it's got to be demonstrated among us. Will we walk across the street? Will we talk to our coworker next door? Will we have will we have a conversation with them about Jesus Christ? Will we share with them what's taking place in ours, in our own lives? I hear people say this all the time. Well, preacher, all of my friends go to church. I don't know any lost people. You don't? How about somebody who maybe has had a bad experience in church and no longer in church? You're one. Power of an invitation. Power of just sharing. Power of loving. With the love that God loved us with. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads together as we pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. And Father, you proved that love for us and to us. You proved that love to us by sending your Son. That we might have life. And that we might have it more abundantly. And Father, we thank you for that. But Father, my prayer today is that we would not just take and hold that to ourselves. But Father, we would take and share it. As Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent Him. We represent Him everywhere we go. Everything we do. And Father, I pray that we just might look in our own hearts today and in our own lives. And Father, look at the love from our own hearts and our own lives. Father, do we love others truly as your word tells us to? Not because, well, I got to love you because the Bible says I have to love you. But do we love one another because it's representative of what happened in our own hearts and lives? And under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, the very first fruit of the Spirit is love. Father, I pray that you would just allow us to see the world today differently. allow us to see it as a people that need you. Father, within the shadow of this very building, in our homes, places where we work, people struggling with life every day. Father, just to share with them sometimes that love, just to do something without having to or being asked to, just offering a word of encouragement, of just sharing with them what Jesus Christ has done in their own heart and life. Father, may we understand the power of the gospel. Father, I pray that you'd help us to sow. Father, to realize that what happens after it's after this is sown involves the Holy Spirit in you. And Father, as we look at just inviting someone and then to share in their life after. Not just to get a body here, to say I've filled a spot, but God, help us to see that that person, body, is important to you. Father, we ask all of this today. Jesus, precious in His holy name, and for His sake. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand together with me. We're just going to sing.